Zimri was an ancient king in Israel. And Zimri received the crown. He got to be king by plotting against the king before him and murdering the king before him. And then Zimri rose and became king. And Zimri ruled the land for 7 days.
7 days?
Days. 7 days. Mm-hmm. And then the current military commander of Israel plotted against Zimri and murdered Zimri.
The nature of you.
Yes, that's right. And so Zimri planned and plotted so that he could be king.
Again?
Not again. Just once. He was king for 7 days. After that, he died.
Oh, he died?
Yes, because
he was killed.
He was, another guy murdered him after 7 days. But Zimri did all of this. He's thinking, I want to be king. I want to be king. And he got it. He actually was king.
For a week.
That's right.
That's good.
So what did he get in the end for all his efforts to be king? What did he get?
He didn't get his crown. Right?
In the end, it came to nothing. In the end. That's right. Now, there is a sense in which life is like Zimri. And we're going to teach in the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes it can be a difficult book to understand because of what it says and how we look at it in light of the rest of the Bible. And sometimes people read it and say, it said that? Yeah, it said that. But we're going to teach in this book, in Ecclesiastes. And it begins with a statement that sort of summarizes Zimri, the king who lasted 7 days. But it's going to apply Zimri's situation to you and me. So I'm going to read. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. So here we go. You can follow along in your Bible if you want. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes, and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises, and the sun goes down, and hurries to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south, and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind. And on its circuits, the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has already been in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor there will be will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after? Okay. The book begins with the words of the preacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Historically, people have identified this preacher as Solomon. Solomon was the son of David. Solomon was king in Jerusalem. And Solomon did write, he was known, in fact, for writing wisdom literature. And Ecclesiastes fits that that genre. A genre is a style, a type of literature. That's what a genre is. Ecclesiastes fits the literature category of wisdom. And I know that there are other opinions about that, but Solomon makes the most sense, given, you know, what it says. Verse 2. So look at verse 2. That is one of the major themes of the entire book. He sort of is summarizing much of what he's going to say in the book in verse 2. Later, he's going to illustrate it. Vanity of vanities. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. That word, vanity, so you may not, some of you may not know what that means in English. The Hebrew word is a very rich word with lots of meanings. And literally, it's something like vapor or breath. And it's actually a picture. And so I want you to think of your breath, like, you know, you breathe. So last week we had all this cold weather. You go outside, you breathe, and there it is. You see it, right? And then it's gone. You see it for like less than a second, and it's gone. That's the picture. Life is that way, he's saying. That's the Hebrew word is something like that. Breath of breaths, vapor of vapors, vanity of vanities. It's life is like Zimri. You have you're on top of the world for 7 days. And then it's nothing. It's all vanity. Vanity means it has no point. There's no meaning to it. There's no purpose to it. That's the idea. It's all futile. Futile is a really good English word. I don't know if you know that word, but it's a really good English word to describe what this is saying. Futile. Futility is the noun for futile, if you know what that means. It means it's not going anywhere. Life is not going anywhere. Now, when this word is used, it's actually used in the Old Testament a lot, and when it's used in the Old Testament, it often carries that meaning, futility, vanity. Meaninglessness, something like that. So the preacher opens the whole book with this statement that life on earth has no point, no meaning, no purpose. It's vanity. It's worthless. Breathe, and it's gone. That's the idea that he's opening the book with. And you say, well, how can the Bible say that? I mean, isn't one of the main points of the Bible that there is meaning and that there is purpose to life? Doesn't the Bible, in fact, point us to that meaning? Isn't that kind of why the Bible was written? So how can it now say everything is vanity? It's all vanity. It's all worthless. It's all meaningless. It's all, you know, in life you're wasting your time. How can the Bible talk that way when the whole Bible is full of, well, there is meaning? And it's questions like that that make Ecclesiastes a difficult book to understand. Because the reality is, in Jesus, life has great meaning and great purpose. And yet, Ecclesiastes is still true. Because Ecclesiastes is talking about life on its own terms. You have to see this phrase in the text. So go to verse 3. Look at verse 3. You see in verse 3, he says, what does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? Go to verse 9. Verse 9. There's nothing new under the sun. Go to verse 13. We didn't read that far, but just go to verse 13. I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. Go to verse 14. And he says, I've seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind. You're chasing the wind. That's the picture that the preacher in Ecclesiastes is giving. Imagine chasing. You can never catch the wind, can you? You can chase it and 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 never get it. He's saying that's life. But it's life under the sun. Under the sun. Under heaven. Under the sun. That phrase is going to come up again and again and again and again all throughout this book. And that's the key to understanding a lot of what the preacher is saying. He's talking about life under the sun. He's talking about naked life as it is without God. Remove God, just look under the sun and look at life. Vanity of vanities. It's a breath. It's gone. You're wasting your time if that's what you're going to live your life for. And so the Bible throughout talks about God in your life or God being over your life. But if you remove God from life and you just look at life, you get Ecclesiastes. You get Zimri. Because that's all life's got to give you. It doesn't have anything to offer that lasts. Now, it does. I won't say life doesn't have anything to offer. It does have things to offer, and the book's going to talk about that later. But it has nothing to offer that's going to last, that's worthwhile. And so apart from God, life under the sun is vanity. That's what he's saying. It's empty. Doesn't have anything to give you long lasting. It's here and it's gone. Now, you know, I talked about Zimri, king for 7 days. There were kings in Israel who reigned for more than 50 years. But from the perspective of eternity, 50 years is much less than 7 days. 50 years is nothing. 50 years is, it's gone. That's what 50 years is. And we look at those 50-year kings and say, oh, well, that was good for them. And what do they have to show for it now? Not much. Look at verse 4. It says, a generation goes, a generation comes. That's what verse 4 says. Now, you and I, we live in the generation now, right? And to us, now is the most important generation. You may say, oh no, I don't really believe that. They're, you know, blah, blah. But how much time do you spend a day thinking about your life and what's going on now? And how much time in the day do you think about the generation that was 100 years ago? Based on how you spend your time and where you spend your thoughts, and you consider now more important than, even if you may say, oh, I know that's not true, but we live as if it's true. And so, but here's the thing. When those generations were here, you know, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, when they were here, they did the same thing you and I do. They thought about their time, their place, their lives, their what's going on now. Every generation lives as if it is the most important generation that has ever been, based on where they spend their time and their resources and their so on, their thoughts. And then that generation dies and is replaced by a new generation that does the same thing. And it dies and is replaced by a new generation that does the same thing. And on and on and on it goes. And in the end, the older generations pass away and they pass out of memory. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says this. He says, there is no remembrance of former things, or that word things can also be translated people, nor will there be any remembrance of later things, which can also be translated people. It's the same word. Yet to be among those who come after. There's no remembrance of them. The generations come, the generations go, and they get forgotten. Let me illustrate this way. So you have two parents. Everyone in this room had two parents. Your two parents each had two parents. So you have four grandparents. Your four grandparents each had two parents. So you have eight great-grandparents. Raise your hand if you can give me the first and last name of just one of your great-grandparents. Great-grandparents. Can you give me the first and last name of one of your eight great-grandparents?
Actually, last name, yes.
You can give me a last name.
Same last name.
Well, yeah. Somewhere the same last name will pass on.
Yeah.
That's right.
First name, I don't.
How many can you give us?
There are people in Qom, one of the holy city in Iran.
Yes.
And there are people who are specialized in finding your ancestors.
That's right.
And my grandfather.
Yes.
Go to those people.
Yeah.
And find out who was his father and father and father.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there are people here who do that too.
Up to almost 1400 years ago.
Yeah.
So I know the name. If they are,
you know the name of all eight of them?
All of them.
You know all?
No, one after the other. Only one.
Oh, okay. You can give me the name of one.
42 generations.
Wow.
To me.
And you've got it memorized. You know their names.
I don't need the name, as you don't need to remember.
You don't need the name, that's what I'm asking for. All right. Okay, so
there are people who know.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Okay.
Grandfather.
great grandparents know. Oh, I only can remember all the names of my grandparents.
Yeah, your grandparents usually you know because you're still alive.
Yes.
And you've met them and you know them. But great grandparents are starting to get where you haven't really met. Some people do. I mean, you know, some people know their great grandparents, but not everyone does.
I was thinking when someone dies, the families start crying and going to, after that they go to
visit. Yes.
And the next generation doesn't care. And the next
that's right.
after that, they don't know what was happening.
That's yeah. That's what Ecclesiastes is saying. It's the way, he's saying that's the way life is. So here we got one guy who can give us the name of one, because he can only go through one of his eight. And that's all I'm seeing. Okay, you get the point. Okay, so here's the deal. One day, you will be a great grandparent. And who will remember you?
If you have chance.
Yeah, that's right. If your children have children,
you
might not even get to be a great grandparent.
Every one of us being here is because of millions of accidents.
Yeah.
Happened to our ancestors. You know the movie we saw? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, that's the point he's making. You will be forgotten one day. Right now, in your life, you're like a big deal in your life, in your family knows you, and so on. But there's going to be a day when no one's going to know who you are or who you were. You're going to be buried and forgotten, and that's what Ecclesiastes is saying. That's what life has to give you, this life without God. That's part of what it has to give you. We quickly forget. And what that means is that you and I will quickly be forgotten. This is life under the sun.
Sorry, what's the role of religious here? What's different? If you're believing on a God,
mm-hmm.
or you don't.
Yes.
Makes different. Both are forgotten.
That's correct.
Whether you are religious or non-religious.
That's correct. But life, one of the things of life that people pursue, that they want, is to be known. And in the end, they're not going to be known. If life is what you're after. Now, if you're pursuing Jesus, to be known here on the world isn't that big of a deal to you. And so you'll be forgotten like the others, but that's not what you were pursuing anyway. You were pursuing something else that's far better and far more important. And you actually will be remembered by him. And so that's a big difference. And so, but life by itself, this is one of the things people pursue in life is fame. It's one of the, I want to be famous. Famous people get forgotten. Okay. You're from China. How many emperors have you had in your thousands of years of history?
Wow.
And how many of them can you name?
For me, less than 50. I can name maybe 50 of them.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. I love to read history books, so I can maybe remember 50.
So if I were to say
those famous ones.
So if I were to say who was the emperor in China 200 years ago this year, can you tell me who he was?
Yes, I can tell
you. You could tell me 200 years ago.
I can name one. I can name one. Yeah.
One emperor.
One emperor 200 years ago.
Okay. And so,
it's not far. It's not far away. It's
no, 200 years ago is nothing.
Yeah, it's not far. I can still remember some of them.
Okay, that's pretty good. If I said that to an American, and said, "Who was the American president in 1826?" He couldn't tell me. Most Americans could not tell me who that was. In 200 years ago is nothing. But and here's the thing.
And this is different because in American, the president only can have at most two terms. So that was
mean. That's true.
Years. But in China, last 300 years, only have 10 emperors.
Okay.
Wow. So I remember all of them. So
sure.
It was easy to remember. Only 10.
Yeah.
There was only 10.
And so, but that the president of the United States in 1826 was like one of the most important men in the country that year. And most people can't tell me who he is. And he was one of the most important men in the country. And you could do the same. You could pick years, you know, emperors going, I mean, your history goes back like 2,000 or 3,000 years. And there are emperors who were emperors, and they were the most important man in the country that time, and you can't tell me who they are. Because that's the way it is. You could, it's probably the same thing in Japan. I'm sure there are lots of Japanese emperors.
Yeah.
You can't tell me their names. But they were the most important person in the country when they were reigning. This is life without Jesus. In the end, it comes to nothing. And so that's his point. And the preacher then gives us nature. He's going to illustrate this whole thing with nature. So look at verses 5, 6, and 7. Verse 5. You should see in verse 5, 6, and 7, nature. Verse 5, the sun. The sun rises, the sun sets. And then it rises again. And then verse 6, the wind. The wind blows to the south, the wind blows to the north. Then it comes back to the south. And then verse 7, the streams, the water. He describes the water cycle. So the water's in the sea, and the water in the sea evaporates and goes into the clouds, and the clouds move to the hills and drop rain. And the rain finds its way to the streams, and the streams find its way to the rivers, and the rivers go back to the sea. And then it evaporates into the sky, and the clouds go to the hills, and the rain falls, and it repeats itself. The sun rises, the sun sets. 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 It's endless. It goes on and on. That's all it's doing. Rising, setting. I mean, I understand science. We get energy and all that. I get that. But there's this cycle that's going on. The sun repeats the same cycle, and it never goes beyond that. Where is it going? Where are we going here? Rise, set, rise, set, rise, set. The wind blows to the south, comes to the north. South, north, south, north, south, north. And does the wind ever get to where it's going? In fact, where is the wind going? Does it even have a goal that it's going to? Verse 7, the water, same thing. And the sea is never full, it says. I mean, you've got rivers flowing into the sea, filling the sea with water. You would think it would overflow at some point, right? It doesn't. The sun, the wind, and the water are all part of this vanity of vanities. They're pictures of this futility that he's talking about. But he's saying that life is full of what the sun does and what the wind does and what the water does, is what he's saying. Let me illustrate for you, lest you think I'm just making this up. Your life is full of this same cycle kind of thing. So how many of you brush your teeth?
What?
Yeah. Just two of you. Okay, we need to talk about dental habits. Okay, good. You brush your teeth. I hope you brush your teeth, a couple times at least a day. And just think of what's happening in this thing of brushing teeth. You get gunk on your teeth, right? Mm-hmm. You brush your teeth, the gunk comes off. But, the day goes on and the gunk comes back on. So you brush your teeth and the gunk comes off. And so, but then the gunk comes back on. So you brush your teeth and the gunk comes off. Gunk on, gunk off. Gunk on, gunk off. On, off, on, off, on, off. You're doing what the sun is doing every day. And here's the thing of it. You're doing this to a set of teeth. They're going to fall out all by themselves 75 years from now anyway. Where are you going with this? Where you're just sort of, it's not going anywhere. Or you wash the dishes, right? You have dinner, and after dinner, you wash the dishes. And so you get them clean. The next day, they get dirty again. And so you wash the dishes again, and then they get dirty. And clean, dirty, clean, dirty, clean. You do this every single day. And you're doing this to a set of dishes that in 20 years are going to be cracked and broken and in the trash. That's what you're doing. Washing your clothes. Same thing, right? You're getting the pattern. You're clean clothes, dirty clothes, clean, dirty, clean, dirty, clean, dirty, to a set of clothes that in 10 years will be rags. Repairing your car. We just talked about that, right? Yeah. You repair your car, but that car in 10, 15, 20 years will be in the junkyard. Maybe you change the oil, change the clean oil, dirty oil, clean oil, dirty oil, dirt, clean, dirty, clean, dirty, clean, dirty, to a car that'll be in the junkyard eventually, long term. That car is going nowhere long term. Mm-hmm. Working out your body. You know, you work out to make yourself strong, but you're doing that to a body that one day is going to get weak and frail and go into the dust. Everything I just mentioned is the same pattern as the sun and the wind and the water. And it's stuff you all do every day. Life without God has no point. It has no point. It doesn't go anywhere. Now, obviously, I'm not saying don't brush your teeth. You need to brush your teeth. I'm not saying don't work out. Go exercise, work out. You do need to do those things. But in the end, those things are not ultimate. Those things are not what matters in the end. They may be good in their own right. They have their place, but they are not the point of life. Life is not about brushing your teeth, guys. Now, I do hope you brush your teeth, but that's just not what life's about. And life is not about repairing your car and keeping your car running well, even though I think you should do that. And life is not about working out, even though I think that's a good habit to be in. But that's just not the point of life. It's about something else. But life itself can't give you that something else. Life cannot be its own point. Any more than a car can be its own point. The whole point of a car isn't just to have a car. The whole point of a car, the car gets its meaning from what we put into it. But we're the ones who give the car whatever meaning a car has. The car can't give it to itself. And neither can life give itself meaning. It just can't. Now, so here's the thing about Ecclesiastes. The thing I'm talking about is something atheists say all the time. They say that life has no meaning. Life has no purpose. There's nothing to it. And they conclude there's no God because life has no meaning and life has no purpose. And the irony of it is they're actually right that life has no meaning and life has no purpose. if you consider life only on its own terms. If you separate God from life, the Christian actually agrees with the atheist. Yeah, life has no meaning. You're right. There's nothing there. Without God, there is no point to life. Life can't give you a point. Now, the problem is that we humans want to make this life ultimate. Look at verse 8. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The eye and the ear, they fill themselves with this world, with what this world has to give them. And they want more. And when they get more, they want more. And when they get more of that, they want more. They're never satisfied with what they have. A man can have all the money in the world and want more money. A woman can be the most beautiful woman in the world and be dissatisfied with her looks. A ruler can be the most powerful man on earth and want more power. That's because earth does not satisfy. But the fact that they're chasing that tells you they're looking to earth to be ultimate, to be the thing that satisfies. And earth cannot. It just can't. Money can't satisfy. Power can't satisfy. Beauty can't satisfy. Pleasure can't satisfy. Education, degree, career, work, none of it can satisfy. Those are all good things, but they're not ultimate. There's a difference between ultimate and good. You have to see that difference. This is how life on earth is. It can give you good things. It can give you good things. But it can never satisfy you. It can give you pleasure, but not peace. It can give you health and riches, but not purpose. Health and riches and pleasure with no purpose or no peace is a waste of your time. Guys, I'm telling you flat out, it is a waste of your time. You're wasting your life if that's what you live your life for. You're wasting your life. I've seen it 1,000 times. I've seen people pursue this stuff over and over and over and over again, and they're miserable when they pursue this stuff. When this is what life is about, when life is about life, people are miserable. You work to get money, buy a nice house, have good food, you know, whatever. Maybe you've got a family, and you grow old and die. That is the best case scenario life can give you. Life, I'm talking life without God. That's the best case scenario you got. But it goes nowhere. And it's short-lived. It's Zimri, the seven-day king. That's what it is. And so you can reach the top of this world, but it's all going to be taken from you eventually. And so you know what making Earth the main thing is like? Here's what it's like. It's like a person who works and you know, manipulates and argues and pushes to get the best room on the Titanic. The room is beautiful. It's full of luxury. It shows, look at me, I got the best room. Look at that. I must be important. You got it. And now you're going down to the bottom of the sea. Guys, I want to sort of strip away all of the lights and the lace and the decorations and all of the pretty, you know, the eye candy is the English word we would use, that life throws at you. Because it's really enticing. It says, hey, come on, taste. Take this. This is good. This will satisfy. It will. And you bite and it doesn't satisfy. I want to get rid of all of that. All that decoration that life has. And I want you to see that under the sun, life is empty and vain. It's nothing. I want you to see that. And God insists that life without Him is vanity. He insists that that has to be how it has to be. Life without God is a breath. It's gone. Because God insists that we find our meaning not in earth, but in Him. That's where our meaning is. That's why He makes life this way. He does it on purpose because of sin, because of what Christians call the fall. The fall is when sin came into the world, and the world is broken. And ever since the fall, Ecclesiastes has been true. Ecclesiastes is the result of sin that has come into the world, because God insists that a world full of sin will give you nothing in the end. It will not happen. God will not allow that. And so earth shouts, look here, look here. See how pretty I am? And Ecclesiastes says, don't go down that path. There's nothing there. And I want you to see that because I want you to actually have purpose and meaning. I mean, real purpose and real meaning that comes from something other than a job or money or whatever else earth has to pleasure, comfort, all of that stuff. I want you to have a full life. And it ain't going to happen by pursuing earth. And so a full life with peace and purpose comes with Jesus. That's where a full life comes from. Here's what Jesus said. He said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. Here's what else Jesus said. Yeah. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives. In other words, the world has to offer something. Jesus has a peace that far goes beyond what the world has to give. Jesus gives peace deeper than anything the world can give. And He gives abundant life better than anything the world can give. And Ecclesiastes points us away from this world and makes us run to Jesus, where there actually is life and purpose and meaning and peace. And so turn to Him and walk with Him, because in the end, that's what matters. This book is going to be saying a lot of what I just said. He's going to illustrate some things, but it's going to be talking about Don't look to life. Bare life, naked life. On earth, under the sun. The phrase he uses is under the sun, under the sun, under the sun, under the sun. But that's the idea. Don't look there. Look somewhere else. All right, let me pray. Thank you, Lord, that you do give peace and that you do give purpose. Glory to you. Hallelujah. I just praise you for that. And I pray for us here that you show us more and more your beauty, that we may turn away from the beauty earth has to throw at us and see something far better, far more glorious. May we see more of you. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.